Listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan or on demand as a podcast. It's Public Media Music Day, Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, going to cheese, hawa, salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Cancer Connection's annual Community Health Forum is this Saturday at Centennial Hall. We'll chat about the forum and this year's special focus. More on wellness and spiritual health as we talk with Holy Trinity Church about their upcoming series of seminars on meditation, centering prayer, and the inward journey. And we'll have a look at upcoming events from the Juno Public Libraries. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikach, gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Mr. DJ, can I make a request? Puede ba yung love song ko? Mr. DJ, para sa akin ito, sana ay okay sa'yo. Hihintayin ko na patugtugin mo. Thank you uli sa'yo.
That's Sharon Cunetta with Mr. DJ here on Juno Afternoon from Public Media KTOO. It's fitting to be playing some music here on Public Media Music Day, as well as playing some music to celebrate Filipino music during Filipino American History Month in support of the launch of MAGA Cuento, a project from KTO News exploring the history and current life of Filipinos in Juneau. It's a podcast available on your podcast app of choice with three episodes out now and two more planned over the coming Fridays. Also, there's an ongoing exhibit at the Juneau Douglas City Museum entitled MAGA Cuento, Filipinos in Juneau. For more on the podcast, visit ktoo.org. And for the museum exhibit, visit juno.org/museum. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher, your host. Cancer Connection is a grassroots nonprofit organization designed to assist people living with cancer, their families, and support systems. They sponsor education programs and awareness events with the intent of prevention and early detection of cancer. And one such event that they sponsor is the annual Health Forum, taking place this Saturday from noon to 2 at Centennial Hall. And joining me now to chat about it is board member Julie Hamilton and president of the board, Cheryl Weinberg. Gunath Cheesh to you both being here today. How are you?
Great.
Thank Great. You.
Thanks awesome. For the opportunity to be here.
Of course. It's so nice to have you here. So first of all, Cheryl, why don't you remind us a little bit about Connection, Cancer Connection, and some of the programs that it offers?
Thank you. I'd be happy to. So, as you said, we're a grassroots organization. Our board are volunteers, and we're a mix of people who have experienced cancer or who have supported a loved one or a community member. We exist to do exactly what you were talking about, to provide resources and support and awareness to residents of Southeast Alaska. And we do that in a number of ways. We have several events a year. Our forum is coming up. We also sponsor National Cancer Survivor Day in June, the first week in June. We also have sponsor the Beat the Odds fundraiser. That is a race, annual race, and that's our biggest fundraiser. And then we bring the forum to the community and with various topics of interest that are aimed at prevention. And then in addition to that, we have other resources and support. And that includes a monthly support group that is facilitated by board members, typically. We also have an apartment in Seattle. We have a lot of resources for people who are going through treatment here in Southeast, specifically in Juneau. But there are many people, for a variety of reasons, that also need to travel outside, either to Anchorage or Seattle. And so to help in that journey, we have an apartment that is a below market rental, a very nice apartment close to the hospitals, and we make that available as well. Julie, am I missing anything?
We have a Let's Talk program, which That's is right. nice for newly diagnosed cancer patients, so we can connect them with somebody who's been, diagnosed with the same thing. And there's a lot of questions when you are newly diagnosed. So getting folks with others who have been through it is a nice program too.
Yeah. And you can find out more at cancerconnectionak.org. Mm-hmm. And of course, the cancer survivor group meetings, is that still the third Tuesday of the month? Okay, great.
It is.
Usually at 6:30, and it would probably be. And where does that take place at?
Well, we've moved. And okay. I wanted to mention that as well.
Yeah.
We're one of the tenants in the Teal Street Center.
Ah.
And so our support group is in the first floor conference room.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. The Teal Street Center is such an amazing resource, such an amazing place. And it's so great that y'all are, all the services that are in there, and they can all talk to each other and visit and all that kind of stuff. So that's good. And I love the fact that there's a Seattle apartment for mm-hmm. those folks who have to travel. Seattle has that great cancer care center down there. Mm-hmm. And I know that is also, it is really scary if you were to get a cancer mm-hmm. diagnosis, and to be able to have support like the Cancer Connection and a place to go And so if you know somebody or if you yourself are diagnosed, it's definitely a resource that you can reach out to. And I think most of the, all of it really is sort of free of charge, right? Like there's no cost for the support services or things like that. You count on donations really.
We count on donations, yeah. And we have received a few small grants as well. But we have a very generous community, as you know, across the board. And Cancer Connection is one of those organizations that benefits from the generosity of our residents. And, you know, I think Julie and I both are, it's okay to say Julie, but we're both cancer survivors. And I think our first involvement with Cancer Connection was using some of those resources.
And now you're on the board.
And we're on the board.
It's
and
amazing how that works,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, doing the good work. I was going to ask you both a little bit about yourselves. I know, Cheryl, that you mentioned in your bio that you're a cancer survivor, but you're also a master gardener.
Yes,
I am. And are you still an aspiring fiber artist?
That too.
What is that? What is fiber art and how did you get into that?
Well, fiber art is using, you know, in the simplest way, it's using fiber to create artwork. My medium is quilting and applique for the most part. Dabble in other resources, fiber resources as well and activities. But I got started because my dad was a tailor in Europe, and he taught me to sew when I was 8, and he sewed beautifully without patterns, and that just planted the seed, and I went from there. So
that's awesome.
Kind of almost always had a needle in my hand, yeah, of some
sort. That's great. And Julie, I know you're still out at the university.
No, I retired from teaching.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Last May, yeah.
Oh, you retired just recently.
Mm-hmm, a year ago, May.
Okay, yeah. A year ago. How's that going? How's retirement?
Dude, I'm so busy.
Busier than you were before.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
You were the professor of accounting, right?
Right.
What have you been, what's been keeping you busy? Are you still helping out with like volunteer income tax and assistance and all that?
Not.
Have you left accounting behind?
No, I'm helping recruit accountants for one division in the state right now. And I opened a new marijuana retail store in Douglas. So
I'm
just busy working.
Wow. Yeah. That's so great. And you both serve on the board and you do wonderful things like this upcoming forum that we're going to talk about. So let's chat about that a little bit. So it's an annual health forum. Tell us a little bit about the forum and why it happens and what's on the docket for this year.
Okay. So the forum is a resource that we bring to the community. One of our goals is to connect the community to health and wellness education in the prevention of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the main ways we do that is through the Community Health Forum. And that's a partnership, really. Bartlett's part of that. Well, we have vendors that participate, Bartlett, Search, other health-related organizations. And then we have a planning committee that thinks about kind of where we are in our world and our lives in relationship to health, wellness, and the prevention of cancer. So this year, when we were brainstorming, one of our board members suggested that we try to have Dr. Zink be our speaker. We had a great speaker last year, Dr. Joni Hope, who's an oncologist from Anchorage, and we had a great response, and it was like, well, how are we going to follow that? Well, I think we're following it up pretty well with Dr. Zink. And so she'll be here. And one thing that's new this year is that we always annually we honor members of our community who have made a contribution to cancer patients, survivors. And we usually present that at our National Cancer Survivor Day event in June. But that's always outside and it's really hard to hear. And we thought about it and we thought, well, you know, we have this forum and people are quiet and they're listening attentively.
Right.
So we're moving the awards to this Saturday.
Oh,
and we're
great.
Excited about doing that. So we're going to present the Survivor of the Year and the Provider of the Year and the Corporate Sponsor of the Year awards as part of the forum. And then Dr. Zink will speak, and she'll also, and I had a preview of her her slides, so it's going to be a fantastic presentation. And then following, she'll answer some questions. We're going to have some music. as people come to play people in and play people out. So, and we're having a luncheon as part of it as well. Breezin is catering a healthy luncheon. We have a dietitian that consults with us, Karen Nowick, and she's been doing that for years. We're going to have a salmon luncheon with, I think, butternut squash and coconut oil and a salad and a parfait, and it'll just be lovely.
Sounds delicious.
Doesn't
That's great, Cheryl.
It's always delicious.
And for those who may not know, I'm sure most people do, but
well,
if you remember during the pandemic, there was always this person who was on our television telling us what we should do here in Alaska, and that was Dr. Ann Zink. And a lot of times those folks are in the background, right? They're sort of doing the work, but she was forced to the front ground. Mm-hmm. She was always on the television during the pandemic, and she was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And I think the title of her topic this Saturday is Bridging Health and Hope, Wellness in the Face of Cancer. And that's what a great topic. Mm-hmm. And I don't think maybe no better person to chat about that. So that's pretty cool. And did you say salmon was on the lunch docket?
It is.
And am I able to go to this for no charge?
Yes. We encourage people. There'll be a donation jar
yes.
on every table. But absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone is encouraged to come.
So, you know, you just throw a little green in the bucket and then you chow down on some salmon.
And if you can't throw any green in the bucket, just being there and getting the information for yourself is meeting our goal.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, the knowledge of that for folks is good. So, Julie, who should attend this talk and why should they attend?
Well, I think anybody who has been, you know, touched by cancer, which means almost everyone, you know, if it's not me, it's my mother. If it's not my mother, it's my friend. Mm-hmm. And so you can really get a lot of good information, current information, direct from the professionals. And so I think all ages, you know, all nationalities, everybody that has some time to come, and the doors do open at 11, and the presenters that are going to be in Centennial Hall, they also have information at their tables, and they're all nonprofits mm-hmm. that can help in some way with health and wellness. So I would encourage anybody who can come in and spare a little bit of time, middle of the day mm-hmm. on Saturday.
That's great. And how do people, do you have to register or do you just show up?
You just show up.
Okay, great.
You just show up. And as Julie said, there'll be people, the doors will open at 11:45, but the people who have the booths will be there starting at 11 at the latest. I'm sure they'll be there earlier. And they have a lot of good information. For example, I think both Bartlett and Search's patient navigators will be there. And just hearing and being able to spend time with them, I think, will be valuable to folks. But then there's also, you know, wellness kinds of activities. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
And so there'll be some things related to breast cancer awareness, and there'll be a lot to do in the lobby and always visiting with people.
That's great. And I know that it is also, these are archived. Mm-hmm. Like I noticed on your website, cancerconnectionak.org/community-health-forums, you have like the slide shows from some previous mm-hmm. Speakers, as well as during the pandemic, there was a video or two that mm-hmm. you had to do. So those are up there as well. So you can get some past mm-hmm. history as well, and you'll share those slides. So if you can't make it, you can look on the website later and they'll probably share the slides there. It is the Cancer Connection Community Health Forum. It's at Centennial Hall, Saturday, October 28th from 11 to 2. Doors open at 11 and the program starts at noon. And as Cheryl said, show up, look at some of the vendor booths that are going to be there in that first hour. And then you'll get some great lunch and you'll hear Dr. Ann Zink talk. And don't forget that also at Cancer Connection, there's the monthly Cancer Survivor Support Group. It meets the third Tuesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. at Teal Street, the Teal Street location. And that is awesome. And for more information, of course, you can always go to cancerconnectionak.org and find out more and call and, you know, get some resources for you. So Julie and Cheryl, I really thank you both for coming in today and sharing. Is there anything else that we missed about the forum on Saturday or anything else from Cancer Connection we need to mention?
No, we do have a lot of resources at our office at Teal Street, a library with some great information if people want to come by, mm-hmm. especially those newly diagnosed people.
Oh, that's great.
We have a staffer library in the office most afternoons or most days from 11 to about 4 o'clock.
Awesome. So, awesome. Well, thanks, Gunath Jeez, for being here.
Gunath
Jeez. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Up next, a 5-part series on meditation, centering prayer, and the inward journey starts this Saturday. We'll chat with Father Gordon Blue of Holy Trinity Church next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, sounds wild.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On the seafloor, beneath Alaska's cold ocean waters, dwell some of the world's most diverse and abundant sponge communities. Sponges may evoke visions of tropical waters, but they are abundant in Alaska's marine ecosystems. Deep sea sponges can thrive in waters that are cold, acidic, and low in oxygen, conditions common in waters off Alaska. Deep water sponges are slow growing and long lived, and some can be hundreds of years old. These living structures create habitat for other animals, including commercially important species like rockfish, spot prawns, and golden king crabs. Sponge communities provide protection from predators, feeding opportunities, and nursery grounds for commercial species. Sponges are vulnerable to disturbances from commercial fishing, construction, and oil exploration. They are also affected by climate change and ocean acidification. Scientists have identified 52 species of sponges in the Gulf of Alaska and more than 125 in the Aleutian Islands. In fact, the Aleutians have some of the densest and most diverse coral and sponge communities in the world. Researchers are learning about sponge and coral distribution in Alaska waters and are creating a reference library of Alaska sponges. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life. For today, and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Beginning this Saturday, October 28th, at the Church of the Holy Trinity, they are hosting a series of seminars at no charge on meditation, centering prayer, and the inward journey. They all start at 2 p.m. and will be held at the church at 415 4th Street and will also be made available via Zoom. Joining me now in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, our Father Gordon Blue, and Spiritual Director Tim Spengler. Gunath Jeez for you both being here today. Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gunath Jeez,
and hi.
Yeah, hi, Father Gordon. You go by Father Blue or Father Gordon, or how do we?
Yeah.
All that, yeah. Or just Father.
Or just Gordon.
Or just Gordon. Okay, yeah. That's good, too. And Tim? Hi, Tim.
Hey, Boston.
Spiritual
good to
Director
you.
Tim.
Yeah, that's right.
Tim will be great. Thanks.
Spiritual direction is clear.
Yeah, for sure. This is great. So this is a really cool series that y'all are doing. But first, for those who may be new to Juno or maybe don't know, tell us a little bit about Holy Trinity and its functions and, you know, the things that it does, besides, you know, of course, Sunday service, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're an Episcopal church, which is the following the way of Jesus in a tradition that stretches back through Anglican tradition. So we can get pretty liturgical, if you like those kind of terms. And we like that. I get to dress up in fancy dress, and so does everybody else that wants to. And we do that especially on Sundays.
Yeah.
But we also celebrate holy days, and we have daily prayer at noon. Noonday prayer takes 15 to 20 minutes, and it's designed for people to just have a little island of peace in the middle of the day.
I think we all need that, right?
We have that 6 days a week. And
wow.
Yeah, it's very helpful. And we stream that on YouTube also. Church was first in that place in 1895, and it's been there in one form or another ever since. They first met actually in a log cabin church. It was shared. It was a Presbyterian log cabin. They allowed us in for a while. And they built the original church in 2 years, a little actually under that. And it lasted for 120 years or so. And so this one took about 10 years to build, maybe 12. The original church was burned and rebuilt. And so,
and I remember the community coming together for that really
really supported well by the community.
Yeah, a lot of fundraisers for that to bring it back and you know to have that has have its presence. Yeah,
and we have a partnership with the Theater in the Rough, who aren't the only theater group that uses a stage that was built as a part of that rebuilding in the community hall there. So we like to support the arts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. And then so, Tim, how did this series, how did this come about? What was the thought? When did the idea come up? And have you done something similar to it before?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boston. There's a number of us who have been doing centering prayer at Holy Trinity for about 6 or 7 years. And we all find it an incredibly valuable practice of just quieting ourselves. And we thought it would be really lovely to share that with other people. And so the idea of it came out of wanting to share this really simple, very simple practice that can be done anywhere at any time with other people. And, you know, sitting contemplatively is not for everyone. People are daunted by silence, I think. But I think if one tries it and understands that the thoughts always come and we just gently let them go, and that practice and just the discipline, it gives discipline in a wholesome sense is those of us who do it find it very, 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 very important in our spiritual lives. It's sort of like, I find it akin to when you walk regularly, for example, and you don't walk, you feel physically sluggish, you don't get some kind of exercise. For a lot of us, when we don't spend time in silence during the day, we feel spiritually sluggish. So centering prayer has been a great gift to many of us. We just want to share that with other people, introduce people to it.
That's so cool. And the title of the series is Meditation, Centering Prayer, and the Inward Journey. But I know that the series is intended for those who are curious about centering prayer, and you just mentioned it, a contemplative or meditative practice. So tell us a little bit about what that means. Like how do you do it? I mean, I know that in this world of sort of, you know, so much stimuli coming at us that sometimes people are a little bit afraid to be alone with their thoughts, right? And maybe that prohibits them from wanting to do something like this. But so this is for people who are curious about it, right? So the beginning of it. So what is it that they would be, what is it and what would they be doing?
Right, Boston. And it is for people who are curious about it. It's also for people who have practiced it too, because, you know, we need to be often reminded more than instructed in life, we find. And essentially what it is it's akin to almost other meditative practices, mindfulness, forms of Buddhist meditation, transcendental meditation. And it's similar to those in that what the at its root is you sit quietly and you try and quiet your mind. and thoughts come. There's no way to get not thoughts not coming. So the goal is not to eradicate thoughts from your mind, because that's impossible. But what we try to do is, when the thoughts come, you just gently, you very gently let them go down the stream of consciousness. And in centering prayer, what makes it a prayer as opposed to just a kind of a intellectual meditative practice is that it's a practice of consent. We're consenting to the love and the presence and the action of God within us while we sit in silence. The goal is to rest in God, and you know, we believe that God is always present with us. So we're consenting to something that's constantly in our lives. But we're turning to God. And when the thoughts come, we gently let them go. And we, you know, in centering prayer, they suggest using something called a sacred word. And the word itself is not magical or anything. But when we find the thoughts, kind of, we're latching onto thoughts, we return to the sacred word. Let's say it's love or peace or grace or, you know, whatever, you know, people decide on their own. And so you think, and that's a symbol of your intention to consent to God's presence within. And then what we do, typically they suggest you do 20-minute sessions of centering prayer twice a day, which is what we a lot of us try to do on our own every day. When we meet at the church we have group centering prayer on Sundays at 4, every Sunday at 4, and every Wednesday we do 7 o'clock centering on Zoom. We started that in the pandemic. We do it for 40 minutes as a group. And having a group experience is been a wonderful, wonderful. It's the fellowship you build there in the silence is really profound.
Yeah, I guess it's like Father Blue. It's like it's sitting in a group together. There's sort of the collective conscious, right? That you're all sort of accepting what the moment is, as well as sort of finding your own place in that moment. Yeah?
I think so, yeah. It might be collective unconscious if you want to get Jungian about it.
Yeah, right, right.
It's sitting together is very reassuring, in addition to whatever spiritual component you find in the act of centering. And I think that one of the virtues of practice of meditation is that it helps to address the anxiety that's floating around all around us, that we're participating in constantly, even if we don't feel that we're feeling anxious ourselves, but just in the air of people and the press of everyone scrambling as much as possible after their goals and wishes. And, you know, we often hear people say, oh, you should practice prayer and meditation. And then we have examples of all kinds of prayer. And in the Christian tradition, not many examples of how to meditate.
Mm.
And there is, although it's centering prayer and it's a meditative prayer state, it's about listening rather than articulating wishes or desire or need or all of these other things that we do or tend to do with vocal prayer. Some people sing and enter into that meditative state in that process. Sometimes I like to take walks where I can do that. Don't do that on the streets, but in the woods, if it's a fairly defined trail, you can do that. But sitting and centering together adds a dimension to the activity of listening that is worthwhile.
That's great. I mean, you were talking about the anxiety of the moment that we're in all the time. I'm thinking about, you know, doing live radio, which is, there is an anxious moment, right? There's a lot of times where that comes up. And I find that right before the show starts, I'm always have a little bit of that, you know, sort of in that moment. And it is a matter of taking a moment to say, wait a minute, let me just take a breath here and launch into it. It's all going to be okay, you know. And when I was a younger person, when I was in high school, I had done some research into Taoism, which is similar to what we're talking about here, just in terms of nature being centered and sort of, you know, putting yourself and letting the thoughts sort of, you know, go away and try to get back to just, you know, being as present as you can in the moment. And also my life in the theater was all about being present in the moment as well, which is all centered on breath, which is part of meditation, I would assume. So is that something, I know you mentioned in some of the notes that you talked about these monks that that were sort of, some of this was made popular by them. Is it the Trappist monks? Is that what it's called? And who are they and how did they inspire some of this in terms of finding a way in to this, or is this a movement that has been happening within the church, or how did you all find this idea?
Yeah, Boston. What most people don't understand is that Christianity has a really ancient history of meditative prayer from the desert mothers and fathers were like hermits who went into the desert to Egypt in the second and third century, and they practiced meditative prayer. They lived their lives in that regard. And there's been a series of things throughout Christianity. There was a book written by an anonymous monk in the 14th century called The Cloud of Unknowing, which was a seminal work for Christian contemplatives, and is today, and is one of the inspirations of centering prayer. And then there was St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross were practitioners of meditation in the Christian tradition. And the monks in the 70s, Father Thomas Keating was the abbot of a monastery in Boston. And they found that people had come to their door in their monastery, knocking on the door, asking where the Buddhist monastery was nearby because they wanted to spend time in silence. Mm-hmm. And as a Trappist monk, they practiced meditation. And so they realized that there was a great yearning for people for silence and that there is in the Christian tradition. And so they, centering prayer sprang from historical Christian meditation practices, but they, Father Keating primarily, the Trappist monk, he wrote a book called Open Mind, Open Heart, which is kind of the talks all about centering prayer, the history of it in the church and the practice of it. And it was reclaiming that tradition for Christians. And he has a lot of interfaith work with the Dalai Lama, and I mean it's a very ecumenical sort of practice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into the nuts and bolts a little bit here. The series actually runs from this Saturday through November 25th, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I believe, and it's available in person, or by Zoom. And you have different. As I understand it from the flyer, there's different people who are sort of taking different pieces of it, right? So like this weekend, they all start at 2:00. They're at the church at 415 4th Street. And this Saturday, we have something called Preparing for the Inward Journey. And who's leading that? And what is that going to be about for Saturday?
That is actually going to be led by Father Bill Sheehan, who's going to be online.
Okay.
And so we're still encouraging people to come in and sit with us. He's going to introduce people to the basic concepts and practice.
Okay.
And he's also, as you can see, week 5, letting go of the chaos.
Oh, that's a good one.
He's going to wrap the sessions up for us.
Yeah. How long will the sessions be each week?
We're thinking
as long as they need to be.
No, they're not going to be very long.
Yeah,
they're scheduled for an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
So not even 90 minutes.
Okay. All right.
And, that will include time for questions. We hope that each of the presenters will be open to questions from the floor.
Okay. That's great. And then on Saturday, November 4th, we have Centering Prayer and 12-Step Spirituality, and that's going to be led by Jim McElroy.
Yes, yeah. And he's become rather well known in that community. The 12-step movement utilizes a great deal of exhortation for people to pray and meditate. And then it says, well, you know, go to your spiritual tradition and find out about meditation. And that's not very helpful for a lot of people who don't really have a spiritual tradition other than that set of practices in the 12 steps. And so people have come along and developed a new tradition, which is actually a very ancient one, and adapted it to the necessary meditation that, that takes place in 12-step programs, which are about healing. It's not simply about recovery, although that's the most active and perhaps currently most important part of 12-step work. It is a discipline of healing that it's related to practices in religious communities of learning discipline, self-discipline primarily.
Yeah.
But by following a 12-step program and practicing prayer and meditation, people find their lives improve very remarkably. So this is going to be about that.
That's great. And then I'm just going to mention these other two here. So then in week three, November 11th, again, it's a Saturday, welcoming prayer with Mary Dyer, right?
And then
on the fourth week, it'll be a panel with people who have been doing centering prayer in Juneau. Probably Tim will be there, I would assume. And then, of course, as Father Blue mentioned, on the Saturday, November 25th, letting go of the chaos, which, boy, that is just a good one. That's a great title. I mean, that's just, how do we do that? Because we are so wrapped up in all of the things, all the stimuli, our phones, our computers. We have access to so much more than we used to. And so getting back to sort of, you know, centering and just being quiet for a while sounds like a really good idea. And so where do people find out more about this? Where can they look for more information, or who do they call?
Well, thanks, Boston. They should contact Holy Trinity, 586-3532, or holytrinity1895@gmail.com. Allison is there from 10:30 to 2:30 on weekdays. And they will receive the Zoom invitation and so forth in that way. As far as the material, well, come out and find out.
Absolutely. Now,
on week three, Mary Dyer is leading a seminar in what's called welcoming prayer. What should be understood from that is it's a meditative practice of acceptance. So when you talk about letting go of the chaos, a lot of that chaos is internally in learning how to differentiate between what's possible to do and what we're told we should do, and to try to arrive at a place where we can find self-acceptance as well as acceptance of sometimes very difficult things, like fatal diseases, for instance. So welcoming prayer is a discipline of welcoming whatever life is bringing and learning through the practice how to accept what must be accepted. And it's definitely very deeply based in the process of centering prayer.
Absolutely. Well, Father Gordon Blue, Spiritual Director Tim Spengler from Holy Trinity Church. It's the Meditation Centering Prayer and the Inward Journey series. It starts this Saturday. For more information, you can email holytrinity1895@gmail.com to get yourself signed up. Gunath Cheesh, for being here today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Boston. I appreciate it. Peace.
Thank you.
Sabuhay ko'y labis ang hirap at pasakin ng puso.
That's Kalita Corrales. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. Public Media Music Day is a nationwide celebration uniting public radio music stations, fans, artists, and other members of the music industry to recognize and spread the word about the special role non-commercial stations play in the music world, both locally and nationally. Here in Juno, we are proud that for almost 50 years, KTOO has served as a connector between you and great music you won't hear anywhere else on the radio dial. From showcasing artists performing at Ock Rock or collaborations with the Juno Symphony to broadcasting the entire Alaska Folk Festival every year to highlighting musicians and music here on this program, Juno Afternoon. It is part of our mission to help you appreciate our terrific local performers and performances. Outside of these special partnerships, you can also tune in every day to hear local volunteers play handcrafted shows that both ground you in what you know and surprise you in the discovery of something new to love. You can do that on KRNN and KXLL, and also some programs here on KTOO. We are grateful for everyone who listens and to everyone who helps create these special opportunities for connections that are only found on public media. And nationally, you can go to livesessions.npr.org, and they're celebrating Public Media Music Day. And they have all kinds of concerts going on there, as well as tune in to KRNN or KXLL sometime today and just check in, and maybe you'll hear something that you haven't heard before. All right, up next, we'll catch up on events around town from the Juno Public Libraries. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Bird Note. When it comes to nests, common sense would suggest that if you're a big bird, you build a big one. A small bird, a small one. But in fact, some species of smaller birds build large nests. None, though, build anything like the huge communal structures of sociable weavers in southern Africa's arid plains. These house sparrow-sized birds often live in accommodations with room for up to 500 birds. Made from stiff grass, they're relatively cool during the intensely hot day, and relatively warm during the very cold night. A colony is made up of hundreds of individual nests clumped together. Attached to acacia trees or utility poles, they look like haystacks suspended above the earth. Each pair or family of sociable weavers has its own access hole and tunnel into a chamber within the larger complex. Some structures have persisted for more than 100 years, with constant occupation by succeeding generations of sociable weavers. One drawback of these nest structures, though, is the weight, up to a ton when dry, even more when wet. They're so heavy, they can break their supporting branches and go crashing to the earth below. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Time, once again, to look at events happening via the Juno Public Libraries, and I'm joined by Margaret Lutke. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Gunnath Cheese for being here today. Happy almost Halloween.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you all at the library, do you decorate and do you guys do stuff like that?
We have in the past. I don't think we have any plans to this year. If we so choose, those of us on the front desk get to dress up in appropriate costumes. Many, many choose literary characters. I have been the Mad Hatter in previous years with my desk partner playing Alice to Mad Hatter.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so go in on Halloween and you may find yourself a librarian in costume.
Right, right. That makes sense. Okay. So what is happening? So what, I know we have something that's happening today.
Yeah, yeah. Today is a drop-in chess night at the Douglas Library from 5 to 7:45 p.m. So stop by, play some chess. That's pretty much it.
And I know that usually for the chess drop-in, which is at the Douglas Library in Douglas, obviously, you have some pieces, but you also like for people to bring their own if they have them, right?
Yeah. If you have a set, go ahead and bring it. We do have quite a few that are available for play, but it is great to have people bring their own if they have them.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, again, drop-in chess tonight at the Douglas Library. Mm-hmm. And then this Sunday, we have something happening. What's that?
Yeah, game day with our friends from Platypus Gaming. They'll be at the Valley Library from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday. They'll have board games available for kids or for people of all ages. They'll be rated from around age 5 and up. So you could bring younger kiddos as well. And they'll have people around to help learn how to play the games because those can be kind of complex. Sometimes they can be kind of complex to learn fresh out of the box.
And that happens in that big front room? Is that where that happens? Yep. Yeah, okay. At the Mendenhall Valley Library. That will be happening Sunday, and that happens from 1 to 4 this Sunday, October 29th, game day with Platypus Gaming. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday on the show, we had Theater Alaskan here talking all about this fantastic production of A Doll's House Part 2 that they're going to be premiering next week. And they're going to be with you a couple of times.
Yeah, they're going to do two shows of A Doll's House Part 2, one on Friday, November 3rd, so first Friday. At the Douglas Library at 7 p.m. And the next one will be on Thursday, November 7th, also at 7 p.m. at the Valley Library. Free admission, and it should be a great time.
Okay. Is Thursday, is that the, that's the 9th, right?
Sorry, yes, the 9th.
Yeah, the 9th.
Did I say something else?
I think it was just confused with the 7 o'clock time. So I just want to make sure make sure it's November 9th at 7 p.m. And that'll be at the Valley Library as well.
Yep.
And if you want to hear more about that show, listen to yesterday's show on our website, kto.org/JunoAfternoon. It was a great conversation about this play. And one of the actors in it, Marta Lestufka, who hasn't been on stage in 20 years in a play, is returning. And it should be fantastic. It's a great cast. It's a great play. It's a great story. It's a follow-up to the literary, classic A Doll's House. Mm-hmm. And basically, it sort of presents the idea of what happens if Nora knocks on the door after the great slam heard around the world. What happens when she knocks on the door 15 years later? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting. And it'll be really fun to see it staged at the library. Yes. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. What else is happening?
So on Monday, November 6th, we'll have a creative writing class hosted by Summer A.H. Christensen. Bring something to write with and something to write on, but otherwise it's free. I think
chisel and stone, is that?
Yeah, that would work. You might not get very many words during the course of the hour and a half, but and I think that they are asking for registration. So go ahead and email them at summer.ah.christensen with an E at gmail.com.
Okay, great. That's a cool writing seminar. That's fun.
Yeah, and that'll be, again, Monday, November 6th from 6 to 7:30 at the Douglas Library.
Douglas Library for that one. Okay, great. Yeah. And what else we got?
We're going to have a mindfulness and meditation workshop on November 14th. That's a Tuesday at 6 p.m. also at the Douglas Library. And this will be really an introduction to meditation and mindfulness. You'll be walked through the grounding concepts of meditation and mindfulness, specifically with an aim to ground ourselves leading into the busy holiday season.
Oh, so, that's really smart. Yeah, because we're already bombarded every day with various different elements of life coming at us.
And then it just gets so much faster during the holiday season.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I can't believe it's almost November already.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's wild. Wow.
And that'll be led by Jessica Gray. She teaches yoga and mindfulness in non-studio settings around town, like community centers, nonprofit organizations, and senior homes.
Great.
And she's also been doing the yoga classes, the chair yoga classes at the Aquatic Center. So,
and you said that was on November 14th?
November 14th.
Yep. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And no registration necessary for that one. Just come on down.
At the Douglas Library.
Yep.
Cool. And what else?
All right. Last but not least, we have a wills and estate planning workshop on Thursday, November 16th at 5:30. It'll be a 2-hour workshop over Zoom, so you can attend from home. That's a really convenient element of that program. We'll have lawyers from Alaska Legal Services available. They'll help you complete the forms that you need in order to write your will and plan for your end of life. And you can ask questions throughout the process as well.
So. That's really great. And I know there's a link for registering for that.
Yes.
I know you can find that at the library. I'll also link it on the webpage for this episode as well, because it has a kind of a long title. I love the title of that. Get it done.
Yeah. Like, just get it done
tonight.
Get it
done. Because it's something we all put off for so long and then it's too late.
Yeah.
And we don't know where things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
I've had that in my own personal life, having to deal with folks, family members and things that weren't prepared. And it's definitely helpful if you are prepared. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a busy month for the libraries.
Yes.
And what is your holiday schedule around the Thanksgiving holiday? Is that something that we want to let people know about?
Yeah, we are closed on the 10th for Veterans Day.
Veterans Day, okay.
That's a Friday. And then we will also be closed the Thursday and Friday for
that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the Thanksgiving.
The Thanksgiving.
But you'll open back up on the Saturday?
Yep.
Okay, so just 2 days, that Thursday and Friday, closed around Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Margaret, I know it's spooky season. Do you have some fun kind of book we can read that might scare the bejesus out of us?
Yeah. So my absolute favorite spooky season book that I've read recently, it's a couple years old now, but Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia. It's set in 1950s Mexico, and a debutante is called to the Mexican countryside to save her recently wed cousin from something kind of mysterious. You don't really know what exactly is the problem. So she goes out there, and her cousin has married into this English family living in Mexico in this grand estate. The estate itself is a character in the story. And I don't want to give too many more details, but it's very spooky. Not too many jump scares. So if you're into more of like a slow burn spooky story, but I listened to it on audiobook, and towards the end, I was saying out loud, what the heck is happening right now? This is insane.
And what's it called? Mexican Gothic?
Mexican Gothic. Highly recommended.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Margaret, from the Juneau Public Libraries for coming in again and seeing us and telling us all about things coming up.
Yeah, thank you.
Sheesh. We'll do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Have a warm Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, Culture Rich Conversations continues their series on banned books by Black authors. They'll discuss Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. Juneau Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Ok Bay 91.7. Hello out the road! Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, have a wonderful Juno evening.